Everything changes. This is where you get mesmerized.
Welcome to the January 16th, 2010 edition of Get Resmerized. I'm your host, Res Miranda. My site is resmerized.com, R-E-S-M-E-R-I-Z-E-D.com. There, you can find out all the different ways to get psychic readings from me, video, chat, telephone, all the free stuff I give away, and you can fill out a little form that says, please, please, please solve all my problems on your show by giving me a free mini reading. Well, maybe one little problem or so on the podcast. Send me a resmerandum, fill out the little form, and I'll do my best to contact the spirit world on your behalf. But hold on, I make no promises as to the effects of actually getting resmerized.
If the words sound slightly wrong, that's the way they wrote the song. Sad to say, but that's the way.
Our first question is from Danielle. She says, I'm really trying to learn who I am. I am intuitive when it comes to others, but not to myself. I find myself counseling people I've never met prior, though I can't seem to figure myself out. Will I ever be able to help myself in any way, or am I just not wanting to face who or what I really am? I've been told that I have an open spirit. Yeah, all good stuff. It's a common thing. It's common. It's commonly believed. It's widely believed, I should say, that most psychics or that people who are readers can't read for themselves. I think that's possible, but I also think that really most of us cannot be objective enough about our own lives to do that. What's important here is how you tell your own future, basically, is to spend a lot of time becoming really, really self-aware. Look at the patterns in your life and see where you're going, and then get maybe another opinion from a reader that you really trust. But be careful, because that can be really risky, I'll say. He or she may come up with things you don't want to talk about. So, Danielle, let's draw a card for you. And because you're wondering if you're an intuitive or what the heck are you besides human. Okay, your card is the Justice card. That's really interesting. The first word that comes to mind and thinking about how this might apply to you and what you're trying to figure out as far as who you are and what you are is the word mediator. That's really important in terms of psychic reading and being intuitive and stuff like that. I would say that you are a kind of a counselor, that you are even a bridge. We could even possibly call you a channel for spirit and for psychic stuff. So definitely explore that more. I'll be more than happy to help you do that. I've been doing this for a really long time. So, like, really long time. So contact me and we'll talk together more about how to explore that and see what direction you want to go. I'd be glad to help you find out. Next question is from Anise, A-N-I-S-E, I think I said that right. Hi, Rez. I've tried meditation many times before, but for some reason, I have trouble with this. I tend to think about everything at once when I try meditating. Is this normal? If not, would you please tell me what it is I need to do to help? Okay. It's normal, yeah, especially when you start. Now, keep in mind, most people that don't meditate on purpose, because we all actually do that, whether it's on purpose or not, think that it's some big ritual that you have to do. You have to sit in a certain position. You have to tie your, you know, legs around your head and, you know, at just the right time of day and under the right astrological sign and say the same kind, you know, the right mantra and all that. No, it's not that hard. When you decide that you're going to take time and meditate a specific time, a specific number of days a week, then yeah, when you first start doing that the first few times, everything's going to run through your head at once. It's exactly like when you're going to bed and you're not so tired you fall immediately asleep. Everything runs through your head and through your mind. So don't try to fight that. Just let it happen. And after a while, say maybe about 10 minutes or so, maybe longer for you if you're an extremely complicated person or indecisive one, the thoughts will calm down. You'll notice that your mind quiets and that you're not really thinking about anything. That's when you're in the zone, as they say. That's when whatever comes to your mind after that, or whatever you choose to focus on, you'll be able to focus on. It's an exercise like any other. You practice letting your mind calm down and wind down, and pretty soon it will do it all by itself. Something that will help is, in a lot of instances, and we've used this to try and help us go to sleep, is some binaural beat exercises, or really some meditations, really. It's just audio that you listen to that takes your brain to where it's supposed to be. Sort of like tells your brain what to do without you having to think about it, which is the whole idea. So, more about that later. There's an article about that on my site too. So have a look at that. Next question. Dear Rose Miranda, good questions this time. Dear Rose Miranda, I've been married for 30 years. to a man I married when I was 17. Our marriage had its ups and downs, but just over the past 5 years, I felt like I don't love him, and maybe I never really did. After about 5 months ago, my first love came back into my life, and we began an affair. Something I swore I would never do. We're both in love with one another, and I guess you could say we're addicted. Yeah. He's also married and is very regretful of it. He has 2 children, and feels for their sake he can't leave his wife yet. He claims to need 1 or 2 years before making that move. He's very attached to his children and feels the sun rises and sets with them. All right, good. This is only one of the many reasons I love him so much, but my life is a mess. Will this ever straighten itself out? And how? Thanks, Nance. Oh, boy. You know, I get the kind of situation all the time, and I'm not going to go into a big, long sermon here about it. But I would like to say something that I've said before, and maybe you haven't heard me say it before, and if you have, well, tough. I'm going to say that it's not possible to create a positive situation, a situation that's going to be good for you and healthy for you out of a negative one. In other words, if you're building, let's say you're going to make something to eat, if you put nothing but garbage in it, you can't expect to come out with something that's going to serve you nutritionally. It's the same way in relationships and spiritual matters especially, which a lot of times are very connected, as you know. So, will this ever straighten out? This is something that I could talk with you a whole lot longer about and probably need to. But the card that I have, honestly, for your question, not to gloss over it or anything, but just to take a short amount of time here, is the Moon card. This is a card about being unclear, about being in a delusion, about being in a dream. You know, the situation that you're in, while I'm not saying it's not real and doesn't feel real to you, just isn't. You're seeing what you want to see, and that's nothing but dangerous for you. And I'm not one of those psychic readers who will say, oh yeah, he's going to leave his wife and everything's going to be hunky-dory. I don't see that happening. So I talk a whole lot more about how to create situations out of negativity and positivity and all that. So just hang in there, Nance. You know, there's a lot of things you can do. But if it's going to straighten out, how it's going to straighten out is all up to you, actually. That's what we really need to talk about. So, rosemarize.com, that's what you do. Last question is from Rody, a longtime listener in the UK. Hey, how you doing? He says, how the devil are you? I'm great, thank you very much. Please, can you look at my money situation? Do you see it improving within the next 5 months? The reason for the 5 months is that Sarah is pregnant, and I hope to be more secure at some point this year. First of all, huge congratulations. Huge, absolutely huge. And to you too, Marcy, by the way, I know that you're listening. Getting married, like we said, awesome and cool. So financial situation, the Chariot, very strong indication that you are taking your life and finances by the reins and going in exactly the direction you're supposed to go. Finances secure? Absolutely. Is it going to be all because of you? Absolutely. Just keep going. Don't lose focus. You're hot stuff. What can I tell you? Um samba como está tão legal, você não vai querer que eu chegue no final. of the time in these monologues, I'm talking to anyone who will hear or needs to. But this time, I'm talking to my own kind. Those who know what their mission is on this planet. Servants of those who need hope and of those who need guides to get through this life. If you are a psychic, a spiritual counselor, a healer, a lightworker, I'm talking to you. The battle between good and evil is not a battle in which spirits are slain. It is a battle for minds and hearts. When you accept the responsibility of becoming a contact for a positively oriented source of information, you're joining this battle. Like it or not, you're now a spiritual warrior. And because you are working for the forces of light, an assumption on my part about you, maybe, by definition, not making a judgment between good and evil, you are, by connection, vulnerable to the same attacks from what could be called enemy forces, though because we are sources of light, the last thing any of us wish to do is to hate, to fear, feel anger towards negatively oriented unseen beings, much less the ones we can see. When you have generated a significant amount of light by yourself or within a group, you will probably be greeted by those on the negative path. What does it mean to be greeted? You may be noticing things like being tempted to do or say things you wouldn't normally choose to say. A greeting may come to you in the form of depression, nightmares, or even just consistent attempts by others to get your goat. In short, anything you choose to improve spiritually in your life, including the skills you choose to serve others with, will be under attack just when you think you've gotten stronger. It's a matter of course. The closer you've managed to bring your life and your work to the consciousness of the source of all love, the fiercer will be the greeting offered to you. If you like, consider this part of the plan of a fair-minded creator who believes that the free will choices of his creations are far more effective than the relatively uninteresting actions of those who do not have a choice, but who must be good or evil. So if you are, or think you are, receiving a psychic greeting from a negative entity or negative people, don't ask, why me? For everything that you have done to prepare yourself to be a channel and all that you do to be faithful in service as an instrument has put you in an extremely predictable situation. You will come to the attention of those lobbying for the antithetical point of view to the one offered by messengers of love, light, and service to others. Tested, you will be. So how do you handle opposition? As soon as possible is the first answer. A psychic greeting is like priority mail. It should get your attention immediately. In the first place, you wouldn't be getting a psychic greeting like that unless you had left yourself open to temptation, had been successfully tempted, and did not amend your own thoughts or actions. For if you deal with temptations as they arise, the effects of a psychic greeting are minimal, if any. A person that leaves no openings will not be attacked. This, of course, is very hard because we all have human qualities to deal with, too. If negatively oriented entities could be said to have one predictable characteristic, that characteristic is caution. Negative entities have a great deal to lose if they get into a situation where they will fail. Failing is a negative's no-no. Look at the situation from the negative's point of view. Service to the self, the controlling of others for the use of the self, is the name of the game. If you cannot control another, you failed. So it's unlikely in the extreme that you are undergoing some type of psychic greeting unless you've left yourself indefensible on some point. Temptations and tests, for the most part, have to do with either ego or excess. Look through your relationships, your conversations, and your private behavior for those actions which are not consistent with your own deepest point of view and what you claim to believe in. Because you are in a vulnerable position as an instrument, it's well for you to be thinking in terms of ethical behavior so that you do not cause yourself unnecessary difficulties. You may have to force yourself to recognize and accept your own shortcomings. It's far easier to say that you're being attacked by someone or something that hates you because you are a messenger of light than it is to take responsibility for the attack. Recognizing that you've placed yourself in the position in which you now are by some omission or commission of action or thought. You're not alone if you find yourself wasting time by saying, "But I haven't done anything." You probably have done very little. However, anything which leaves room for question may be enough to let in that negative greeting. The harder you want to work for the light, and the more that you want to help the occupants of this planet, the more care you must take in the conduct of your own private and public thoughts and relationships. It does not matter what anyone else thinks of you in the spiritual sense. You are not responsible to other people's opinions. If you are acting according to the highest and best that you know in metaphysics and ethics, and if your life equals your thinking and your work to the best of your ability, you've eliminated the cause of psychic greetings. Of course, if you're human and on the planet in a physical body at this time, you probably not succeeded in becoming the ideal God-realized being. But it's important that you keep trying, that we all keep trying. When you respond to psychic greeting with fear or anger, you're giving negatively oriented entities exactly what they want. The more you fear, the more you struggle, and the more you rage, the tighter will be their grip upon your attention and the less you will be able to do about their greeting to you. To those upon the negative path, negative emotions are sweet. It may seem a little backwards to you, but taken in terms of negative polarity, fear and anger are quite normal. And the more fear and anger you feel towards a negatively oriented entity, the more that entity feels you have complemented its work. It's up to you to invoke the power of love in that kind of situation. A group entity of many individuals called Ra has called the positive path the path of that which is, and the negative path, the path of that which is not. Love makes us all one, whether we like it or not. However, the positive path is based upon an appreciation of that fact, whereas the negative path is based upon the denial of that fact. This would be a really good time to make up your mind. Mark my words, fellow servant warriors. The time is now to become grounded and firm and to know where you stand. Will you lead those you serve into bliss or oblivion? Do you really hear them when they need your help? Can you see where they really are? You have to know the answers about yourself first. Where are you really, anyway? Those you serve could be risking it all on your answer and your example. Thank you.
If you'd like a free mini reading on the show, just go to Resmerize.com and send Res a Resmerandum. She'll talk about you in front of everybody.
Welcome to the Psychic's Lounge. Your table awaits you. Walk this way.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're here. I said, did you notice in the beginning I said 2010, not 2010?
Yes, I did notice.
Although when I did make my notes, I did actually write 2009.
So that doesn't really count. No, it doesn't.
No, I think I canceled it out there. That one. Didn't it's hot. So I found... I go to as many psychic forums as I can, right?
Mm-hmm.
That almost sounds kind of stupid. Psychic forums. Forums that already know what you're going to say. I found something really, well, interesting to me because I like...
Well, I'm glad you prefaced it in such a manner.
Yeah. Well, I already know. Steve, it's just amusing.
Now might be the time to go get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich if you're hungry.
Well, I found something and I'm going to try and see if I can... talk to this person, actually talk to them instead of just to read their post.
Right.
Maybe, and then see how really nuts they really are or not. But they.
When are visiting hours?
I'm not sure. But what I found was he has this tool, this psychic tool.
So he's a psychic tool? Okay.
Already we're having fun with this one. I knew we would. It's called the Mind Portal. And it's... As I'm looking for... I was looking for like psychic exercises to do and stuff like that. Because, you know, people like that kind of stuff from me. And I'm always trying to find ways to help you develop your intuition. And your ability. So this Mind Portal thing... Well, first of all, the guy's nickname... So I give proper credit here. Is Boson Joe.
Okay.
And I don't know if I said it right, but he's got this thing called the Mind Portal, and it has...
Is that like the current tense of bozo? Bozen?
Don't know. I really don't know.
Bozen.
But I was intrigued enough to obviously talk about it on the show. So it has... This is not an original invention. However, his name for it is, okay? The Mind Portal.
So let me get this straight. Like, okay. I can pick something that's already been invented and just change the name of it, just come up with a new name for it. And that's what's that mean?
Well, it's kind of like
I want to know what that
you know.
Means.
There are brand names and there are generics. Okay,
okay
I guess
right.
we could look at it that way.
Right.
That people find different and creative things to do with things that weren't meant for that at all in the first place, like vacuum cleaners. So, first of all, let me explain what it is. All right, it's this gigantic wheel that you make out of paper. Okay, and.
Is there paste involved?
If you want to decorate it, maybe some glitter. Why not?
Right.
And on this, well, let me go down a little bit because it's almost kind of confusing for me.
All right. There's a little picture there.
Yeah, there's a little picture there. A little tiny picture there. It has spaces.
Works well in an audio medium.
Right. You draw it out. I'm going to put it on the website. A really huge picture. The way you draw it out is this gigantic circle, and you put enough squares on it geometrically. So you have one for every single day of an entire Earth cycle.
was that 365 days?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, only I
that's
had
the time it takes the Earth. Well, actually, it takes the Earth goes around the Sun every 24 hours.
Right.
So when you say Earth cycle?
Well, I mean a whole year,
a year.
Right?
A solar year.
Right.
Whatever that means.
Right.
Okay.
So there's 365 days in it. Now, the idea is.
Thinking Peloponnese, and I don't know why. Strange.
Think of Goodwood Jalapenos. So the idea is on these squares, and this has many uses, and we'll get into that later. But you begin with coding it a specific way, and what that specific way is personal to you. You can start with your birthday.
It sounds like the things that like the girls do with the juji fruit, the gum wrappers, so they can tell who they're marrying.
Yeah.
This is what this is starting to sound like.
Right, right. The puzzles that go. The
you know, they fold it in a certain way, and then they dance around three times, and then they can tell the initials of the person that they're going to marry.
You know, don't make fun. We put a lot of stock in those things.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying.
So you can start with your birthday if you want, and you put your on your birthday, and then you put. It can be used, for instance, to put different things during different parts of the year that you want to attract into your life, or you want to help happen into your life.
Right.
And. You can also put your past on it. Start with your birthday and go backwards.
Right.
And it will show you the pattern of your life.
Great.
And where you're headed.
I always wondered what that looks like.
Have you realized?
It's not like I'm there or
anything. I don't think you have. I don't think you've wondered. Well, but do you...
Believe me, I have enough OCD where I'm I got enough OCD for most people listening.
Right. So when... So if you need help with that. So when you have it filled out to your satisfaction, and I will be providing instructions.
Is this opera? Have I asked this before?
Yes, you have.
What is
this? Last time you said, who is this? And it's Bali High, remember?
Okay. No, obviously I don't.
it's an island song.
Right.
You know, a beautiful musical island song.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Like Joe and the Volcano?
Yeah.
Joe versus the Volcano.
Am I allowed to tip the singer this time?
Yeah, go ahead, I guess.
What kind of tip do you want me to give her? Never mind.
All right.
So back to the mind portal.
Thing. Yeah, what's a mind portal?
Mind portal. From? So you get it filled out to your satisfaction, and then it's a meditation tool, and what that does is because it's big and it's round. Okay, think of it as about the size of a bicycle wheel.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, you can put it on a bicycle wheel because it's going to need to turn. You're going to need to come up with some kind of mechanism to make it turn.
Some sort of spoke.
Yeah, one of them to make it turn. So to spin it, and you're going to have to.
Can't you do like a little one? What if you remember the game Life?
Yeah.
That wheel that spins. It's about that big.
That's so weird. Yeah. That is so weird that you mentioned that.
Yeah, why is it so weird?
Because on the forum where I found this, someone responded to this guy with exactly what you just said.
Isn't that weird?
It's not yes.
weird. There's a link there.
I keep telling you that, you know.
I keep telling you more people are like me than they are like you.
I know. And I'm glad.
Yes.
I'm happy for all y'all.
I'm just pointing that out.
All right.
So, yeah, but it's small, though. But then again, if you can write really small, right?
No, that just defeats the whole purpose.
Okay.
That defeats the whole purpose. Because when you spin it, it's supposed to, it forms patterns, and it's supposed to help open up. Gosh, I try so hard to seriously explain
things.
Is it
cleared for epileptics?
No, I would not suggest this. No, absolutely not.
Well, then I don't know about it.
No, because you submit it and it goes into patterns.
The flashing
and you
the
meditate, right, and you meditate on it, meaning you focus on it while it's spinning. Watch it there. You focus on it and it helps. It gives implants the information into your mind and your third eye. It's even said that this can be used to heighten your psychic abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can also put patterns on it yourself, like colors.
Well, you have to guess where it's going to land?
No. It seems to me.
Weirdos staring at wheels.
What is that? God, right. No. It's... just the act of meditation itself, really. If you need a tool like this, great. And it's helpful to a lot of people, you know, because a lot of people just simply can't sit there and stare at the wall.
I personally find beating things senseless to be very relaxing.
That's real zen for you, right? Relieves a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What, you know, it's your planet too. What am I going to say? But you could also put colors and shapes on it. You don't have to use words or symbols, know.
Your own, can you make up your own symbols?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Do they come in Klingon?
If you want, that's what you can do. You know, and it, as you concentrate on it and as you go into that vortex, you know, you can. I have something good later. Just you wait.
All right.
So that's what it's called. It used to be called a Dharma calendar, which is like a calendar of your life. Mm-hmm. That's like a more serious, yogic description.
Have we managed to misinterpret that like we have everything else from the East? Or no?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact.
Well, see, we can't, it's never good enough, you know, to just take what they've had for thousands of years and used productively and beneficially in their own lives. Oh, no, we Westerners have to take it
transfer,
and
though.
Put it on a bicycle wheel. What?
The whole karma thing, it just doesn't.
Well, no, we. What do you mean it doesn't transfer? I should back up a little bit.
Our Western conceptualization of what karma is really isn't anything like actual karma. You know, there's the concept of it taking, like, we speak of good karma, bad karma in our lifetime, but how would we know about it? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because it's really big. It's long. This is over multitudes.
Right.
You know, and it's not necessarily a good thing, and it's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's just a thing.
Right, it's just a thing. But the point is, it's a balancing thing. But it's only the point now becomes is that, I guess thanks to guys like John Lennon, not that I'm knocking John Lennon per se, but we have this concept of like karma being like this instantaneous, or at least you do something good and something good will happen to you.
Right.
You do something bad and something bad will happen to you. Right. But the thing of it is you do something good and something good may happen to you a long, long, long time from now in another life.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's basically. It's got nothing to do with this life.
No, not necessarily.
The end result.
See, you won't know. You are correct, and you won't know. And the reason you won't know, so we all have to be so attached to outcomes, you know?
Right.
We have to
Why do anything if there isn't a result?
Well, that's, of course, what we hope for, you know? But in things that are unconditional, you know, like giving, like
there
love, like
anything that's
doing the positive... Well, doing positive it's things for other people in your life. I don't agree with you.
Okay.
Obviously.
Fine.
That's my line. I'm going to make you a wheel. That's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm going to make you a Dharma calendar and, or even a meditation one, you know, and
Alrighty then.
Mind portal. I really wanted some reverb on that. It's, you know, broken. So
I have to get one of those eventually.
Yeah, right. So you can really decide what it is you're going to put on your wheel.
Right.
And what it is that you'd like to accomplish. See it in the picture of this guy.
It's
huge.
It becomes subjective. People get they might not want to be. This ties back to the last show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They might not want to be entirely honest with themselves, you know.
Yeah.
So they only put like certain things, you know.
Well, then you're
like
wasting your freaking time.
No, before, like on Sunday morning when they woke up and they wanted gum when they were 8 years old, so they went into mommy's drawer.
Right.
And they took the gum out, and it turned out to be X-Lax, and they didn't find out when they got to church. I bet they're leaving that off the wheel.
I bet they would.
But then again, if you can pick and choose what you put on the wheel, then of what real value is the wheel?
Well, then... If that's how you're going to approach it, then you may as well just go get one of those grown-up coloring books. You know, this is...
But that's what people are going to do.
Not everybody.
Oh,
You know, there are people on this planet who sincerely desire to improve their lives and to find the patterns in their lives and to not repeat them if they have caused them harm and to create...
Yeah, but if they need a wheel to do it, how far along are they?
Well, sometimes we need help. We need tools.
It's like training wheels, right?
Yeah, you could say that.
Training wheel?
But it can't be little bitty like that because, you know, for kind of obvious reasons. So you can do things like imagine waves of light, you know, as they enter, you know, as you spin it, and you see different patterns. It's kind of like those magic pictures.
Can we move past this?
What?
Can we move past this?
All right. I'd like to move past this. So I'll just put
going to link up to the
I am. Right?
Because this is considered, again, being in the segment in the Psychics Lounge.
Yes.
It is either a how-to or sometimes it's a how-not-to.
That as well.
Yes.
And how so, I ain't gonna.
No,
you
will
stuff
be,
like
but
that.
You will be linking the instructions on how to construct one of these.
I definitely will. There is, he's made.
I'm sure I'm sure there are people who are interested.
Sure. Yeah, it's kind of neat. It doesn't come with three crayons. You have to get your own. But he's made available the PDF, you know, the pattern PDF in PDF form, and a couple of little manuals and ideas that things that he's done with it to help you along with that. So
great.
That's what I'm going to put on my site.
Very happy.
Yeah. Okay. And that's that. Happy now? Mm-hmm. All right. Since we're talking about things that don't make sense, or that perhaps do only to a select few people who choose to look at them in a logical manner. Yeah, this kind of reminded me of mentalism. Have you ever?
Mentalism?
Yes, no. Yes. We met an actual mentalist.
Okay, but is that what that's, mentalism, I would have thought, I didn't make an immediate connection.
Yeah, well, the connection is using.
Mentalism sounds like something that's currently happening. It sounds like a a noun.
A condition? No. Well, no, mentalism and psychic ability, of course, are two different things.
It's not a verb, right? It's used as a noun.
Right, right, right.
Noun, and, person, place, or thing.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And I guess the connection would be the word illusion. You create an illusion with a wheel, and you, in order to accomplish
to
a specific
again,
purpose.
Right?
But then, mentalists also create illusions. Okay, so, all right. We met, remember Mr. Raven?
Yes.
He is a mentalist and quite a renowned one, I found out after looking on his site and everything. I'm not going to talk about him.
Certainly
right now.
Made that $15 disappear real good.
He certainly did. And well worth it. And yes. He was, you know, I think I was hypnotized and everything. I didn't even remember getting it out of my wallet.
Right.
But mentalism is very interesting because a lot of mentalists are very anti psychic.
Is Yuri Geller, does that count as a mentalist?
You know what? Yeah, he is.
The spoon benders are mentalists, right?
Yeah.
Because they're using the concept is that they're using the power of their mind.
Yeah, that's right.
Or at least they're making you think they're using the power. Although he really does bend those things, doesn't he?
You know, yeah. let me preface that by saying, yeah, he really does.
Right.
But.
He does it with his finger?
But, yeah, he calls himself.
Real small.
I know. He calls himself. He calls himself a psychic. He doesn't call himself a mentalist.
Okay.
However, he is a mentalist. He's very much a mentalist.
Okay.
You know, if you look into his history.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. He was part of a group of people along with Randy, the amazing Randy, and another man who's very, very well known in that scene in the magician scene by the name of Banachek, Mr. Banachek, who
is... What's his name play, Banachek?
Not that.
Wasn't that George Peppard?
Yeah, but not that. Not the TV one. Not that. This guy... People are looking at us. Even in the Psychic Lounge. But this is a performer, a stage magician and performer, who even people like Penn and Teller look up to and learn from.
They're not mentalists, right? Those guys.
Yeah, they are.
Penn and
they
Teller.
They can do. They can do mentalism tricks as well.
It's not the concept. What distinguishes? See, this is what I'm wondering now.
Okay.
Because you've mentioned psychics.
Mm-hmm.
You've mentioned magicians.
Mm-hmm.
And you've mentioned the mentalists.
Right.
And it seems they're not mutually exclusive. What would be the defining factor to make someone a mentalist? Where's being a stage magician cross over to being a mentalist? Where's being a psychic cross over to being a mentalist? Like remote viewers, are those mentalists?
No. Psychics, remote viewers are not mentalists.
And not at all?
No.
Okay.
Are not mentalists.
So, but a stage magician could be a mentalist?
Yes.
So what delineates?
Between a stage magician and a mentalist?
Yeah.
Well, really nothing, because all a mentalist does. Houdini was a mentalist. And a stage magician. Mentalists do
So it's, would a mentalist be synonymous with an illusionist?
Yeah, you could say that. It's
so
just,
why didn't you just
a word that was coined, you know? Someone who uses, who makes you think and believe that what you're seeing. A mentalist is someone who makes you believe and think that you're seeing something that you're not.
It's like an illusionist.
Yeah, right.
Right. Like, but David Copperfield is a mentalist.
Right.
But not necessarily a magician.
He is a magician also. You can be both. There's obviously a fine line there. But
remember when he made the Twin Towers disappear? Nobody talks about that anymore.
I know. They're scared to.
Yeah, I guess.
Was that on television?
Yes,
I didn't see it.
It was. He did the Statue of Liberty, he did the airplane. It
yeah.
was a huge plane.
Right.
It was like a, you know, like a private jet or something.
Right.
And I believe he made the Twin Towers. Or at least one of the towers disappear. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think so, yeah, yeah. I don't know that.
I'd hate to be the one to have that in my repertoire.
Yeah, not so good. Not so good, huh?
Way to go, David.
But anyway, so he, because it's illusion.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, but then again, are there, like, there are card tricks, right?
Yes, there are card tricks. So going back to that spoon bending thing,
spoon,
you know,
bending,
and
and
Yuri Geller, and even Mr. Banachek, and anybody who does
he's
that.
He's a Jew, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And he's an Israeli Jewish man. Yes. But
I thought you were bracing yourself as she said that. Say
something
else.
Happened.
Anyway.
I was curious about all that, about, you know, spoon bending stuff,
right,
and how they do all that is where this mentalist thing comes into play. I just got curious, and I found this Mr. Banachek site. So he and Yuri Geller and the amazing Randy were part of a program in the 70s, I think it was, called the Alpha Program.
Oh, really?
And
was
that
military
was
funded? Government?
No. It was university funded. I can't remember off the top of my head which one. But they agreed to and were accepted into the program to be tested and to help research psychic ability.
Right.
So they went in saying that they were psychics and that they were clairvoyant and whatever else was involved in that. And had these people fooled for over a year. Now, Banachek and Randy have been doing mentalism tricks since they were kids.
But they're just tricks.
You know?
See, that's
just,
the thing about Randy. Randy, it's a trick. He says everything is just a trick.
Right.
I'm messing with you. There's no such thing as magic.
That's what he says.
Right.
Right. That's what he says. And he was for a long time a stage
Penn
magician.
And Teller pretty much said the same thing.
Yeah.
It's all a trick. There's an explanation for it.
Right. Right. And they do all kinds of things. You know, of course, the card tricks and the spoon bending and the something they call mind reading and a pendulum tricks and stuff like that. But there is our specific steps to do that. All those things. But for anybody, I know, because they're like, shut up. You know, we want to hear what you're saying. So I found a site, and this is just silly. I know it is.
All right, what is it? Come on.
That explains, it has this whole list of mentalism tricks. And how, I'm not going to go
through,
don't
worry.
You
know
how to do it. Yeah,
okay,
the effect and how you do it.
All right.
And I'll put that on my site too, so you guys can practice if you want, because I don't want to do it. But it's there. Some of them are stuff that anybody who watches all these magicians on TV now, you know, and apparently there are some pretty good ones that they do. So it tells you how they do
Two
it.
Two guys come to mind.
Which ones?
Blaine.
Yeah.
And Chris Angel.
Yeah, Chris Angel's like humongous, I guess.
Yeah,
and very,
he's real funky.
Yeah. I watched a couple of his videos just for
plate
kicks.
Plate glass one. You ever see the plate glass one he does? Where he goes
yeah,
the
I
plate
did.
Glass? Yeah, nah,
I did.
Nah, that's pretty interesting.
That's insane.
Yeah.
They're crazy. So anyway.
Very physical.
Yeah. So there's a couple of effects there. Or a bunch of them, actually. I have one I picked out, but I don't know if
you
want to know
how
to do it.
Go ahead,
not.
Quick.
Yeah. And this is one of David
Blaine's. Is it like
Blaine's
the Indian rope?
No, it's not. Kind of, not really.
Okay.
Not really, no. But, all right, this is...
You know, it's a myth.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never happened.
We watch documentaries. So
Penn and Teller.
Yes, yes. Now, this happens to be, so it is said, one of David Blaine's tricks.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
This is the prediction thing, all right?
All right.
Now, if anybody is doing stuff like this and they're telling you they're a psychic, Yuri Geller, they're lying to you because this is what they're doing.
Okay.
All right. the effect. The magician writes a prediction on a notepad, but doesn't, of course, allow you to see what he's written.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The magician then announces that he has read the spectator's mind and already knows what the spectator is going to answer for the question they're about to be asked.
Okay.
The spectator is then asked to think of a three-digit number, simple shape, something like that.
Right.
And then the notepad shown to reveal the exact prediction. So here's how it's done. You make a small gimmick, they call them gimmicks in the mentalist trade, mm-hmm. known as, and they have great names, called a Swami gimmick. Or a nail writer.
Okay.
You can make this gimmick by taping a small piece of broken pencil lead to your thumb. Or you could just, you know, shove a piece of pencil lead into your thumbnail, yeah, which right. is really weird.
Yeah, keep going.
Use clear adhesive tape so the spectator won't see it. Okay. You can also try wedging the lead into the fingernail of your thumb. Okay, when you initially pretend to read the spectator's mind, actually write down nothing on the pad, only appear to be writing down something. When you've done this, hold the pad up to your chest so that, or your forehead, right? So that the top sheet's not visible to the spectator. Hold it with your fingers at the side of the pad, but allow your thumb to be hidden in front of the pad.
Mm-hmm.
When your spectator says their chosen number or shape, secretly write it on the paper with your thumb while looking directly into the spectator's eyes.
Can you write?
To provide misdirection.
You should practice writing with your thumb, I suppose, right?
Well, no, not necessarily, because if it comes out all squiggly, then they can go, oh, see, it's ethereal, you know, spirit. It's, you know, of course it wouldn't be perfect because it's from...
No, but you wrote it down.
The ghost world.
No,
what?
No, see, you're not paying attention.
What?
that doesn't work because what supposedly... The dude scribbled it down first and then hit it.
You described
the trick. Pretend that you're writing something down.
Pretend, but don't really.
Okay, right. But the point now becomes is that when you flip the thing over, the person thinks that that's what you were writing down.
Yeah.
When you first started.
That's right.
So that's not a thorough. That's you writing something down.
But they're supposed to think of a shape or a number or whatever.
Right, I know that.
Right.
I understand that. I don't know where you get this a thorough thing from.
Well, if it comes out squiggly because you write with your thumb.
It's
kind of creepy looking. Okay. So that's it. And
what's
just
that
one.
Called in its entirety?
That particular trick?
Swami gimmick?
Yeah, it's just called the prediction gimmick, right?
Okay.
Right. And there's tons of them, you know.
Yeah, I guess.
Of course. But and they sell them to each other for ungodly amounts of money.
Yeah.
Mentalists do.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Right. So, but what was really interesting to me was that Alva project that Banachek and Randy and Yuri took part in. And then they came out later on. It's on Banachek's site, came out later and exposed themselves and said, yeah, this is how we fooled you. And this is why we did, which, you know, in one way, it's good to know how tricks like that can be performed. On the other hand, it kind of sets psychic research and paranormal research, kind of gives it a, you know, kick in the knee.
Well, you know, if you know it's a trick, sometimes it really doesn't matter if you know how it's being done.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
singing, when will we learn to control?
One-to-one in private live video chat or by phone. Appointments at reasonable rates available that fit your schedule. Just go to resmerize.com and click on the link that says Resmerize Me.
I couldn't believe this. I was like, oh my God, you know, the Knicks.
I actually saw this.
Did
this
you?
This was in the Daily News, right?
Yeah. Damn. Yeah.
It was quoted. I didn't even say anything to it.
I know, you didn't. Yeah. But I couldn't, you know, I have to talk about it. Did you read what they said, what the guy
said?
Jared Jeffries says, I definitely believe the hotel's haunted. Yes. All right, I guess I should actually read the story. They're glad to be out of Oklahoma City, but not just because of the previous, you know, whipping that they got.
106 to 98.
Ew.
88.
88, right. 106 to 88.
That was an official whooping.
Official whooping from Oklahoma. Some members of the Knicks bought into the stories about the Skirvin Hilton Hotel where they stayed being haunted. I definitely believe it, said Jared Jeffries. The place is haunted. It's scary. Jeffries said he had trouble sleeping, as did Eddie Curry, who said he was out for only 2 hours on Sunday night. The hotel's tales include ghost sightings and reports of strange noises. Before or after? Well, there also was a yarn about a woman jumping to her death from the hotel in the 1930s while holding her baby. Ugh. They said it happened on the 10th floor, and I'm the only one staying on the 10th floor, Curry told the Daily News. That's why I spent most of my time in Nate Robinson's room. Because he's the kryptonite guy, right?
Right.
So I definitely believe there are ghosts in the hotel. There are too many stories, Curry added. Something is going on there. I was surprised. I was like, oh my God, the Knicks made the paranormal news.
Yeah, interesting.
For something, you know, that kind of was.
Mm.
Now, remember before when we were making Jewish references and stuff and kind of making fun
earlier?
You're a
Geller.
You're a Geller. Right. Yeah. Were we making fun? I don't even remember.
All I have to do is say Jewish, and it's...
I guess. An Israeli rabbi and Kabbalah scholar.
Are there any other kind?
Yeah. And Kabbalah scholar recently attempted the world's first exorcism via Skype.
Oh, nice.
Who knew?
See, leave it to those Jews.
I know. They got to show off. You know?
They don't invent things. They make them better.
Harav David Batsri, one of Israel's best. See, did you notice how I have to use my hands when I say that?
Yes.
I don't really. That just was like an auto response. How weird is that?
Mm-hmm.
One of Israel's best known Kabbalists tried to exorcise a Dybbuk. Dybbuk. D-Y-B-B-U-K. That's actually a spirit. If you die and you don't complete your mission or your life's purpose or whatever,
yeah,
then you get to possess somebody else and try to carry it out.
Okay.
That's what a Dybbuk is.
Great.
It can be good, it can be bad, it depends.
Right, those golems. Those are my
favorite. Yeah. Yeah, but those, you have to make those out of dead people.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you don't need that. It's just...
Great.
Yeah. But this is a spirit that allegedly possesses the body from a Brazilian Jew. This particular guy that was the Brazilian Jew that needed the exorcism. So he tried to do it over Skype. Some streams of ultra-orthodoxy, such as Batsri's, believe in ghosts, spirit possession, and reincarnation. It was Kabbalists, you know?
Yeah.
Jewish American publication Matzav reported on the online... Yeah. Zav, not Zah. Can't eat it. You read it.
Salt's in there. They float better. I'm telling you. Makes them really light.
It's true. It's true. I did. It's true. I did it.
Buoyant.
It's true. The story began when a man from Brazil claimed that a Dybbuk had entered him. Apparently, some individuals approached Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I couldn't say that again if I tried. On the man's behalf, asking his advice. Rav Chaim posed a number of questions and reportedly said that it appears to be a real Dybbuk. So they totally bought it, okay? The Orthodoxy totally bought it. He added, according to reports, that he's not an expert, but that they should consult with another rabbi, Liebstein. There's so many Hebrew words in this story that I couldn't pause. I don't know what they're talking about half the time. However, what they did was the Skype exorcism was unsuccessful. So what they did was they got him to, they flew him to Israel because that's, of course, where all the action is.
And Eichmann Airlines. Without his consent, I assume. You know, they did technically, they kidnapped Eichmann. They kidnapped him and put him on trial.
Really? The kid? Yeah?
I don't even know what apparatus that was. But yeah, they grabbed him from South America and they
had
him back
to
Israel for trial. Yeah.
Well, he wasn't coming by himself.
Right. So they did the same thing to this dude, right?
Well, no, they didn't kidnap him. He consented to go. However, he was kind of ganged up on
by... Did they
tell
him what was on the other end?
By yeah, they said they were going to perform another...
What did they do? Hey, Shlomi, come here.
I know, right?
You're in the painter's cap. Come here.
So he had, you know, it was kind of like all these voices and everything coming out of him and all these saying all these horrible things, okay?
Yeah.
All these evil things. So this group of people...
I do that all the time. I'm not possessed.
How do you know? Maybe we should ask the rabbi.
I would know.
That's what they all say.
Okay.
So his friends kind of ganged up on him there and said, hey, look, you know, we got to get you some help here. This guy, exorcism didn't work. So they flew him. They consulted, of course, with head Kabbalah people and
right.
said they flew him to Israel and
the
they did it.
Kabbalah Society.
Yeah. And they did a more formal, a larger ceremony.
Right.
And this is kind of funny, really. I was kind of snickered
well,
just a little bit.
This is the funny part. Okay. Thanks.
They put it on YouTube.
Yeah, boy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think, oh, wow. I'm going to watch, you know, being the voyeur that I am, I'm going to watch a real Kabbalist exorcism on YouTube. So I open it up.
What is it?
I hit play, and all you ever see for 10 full minutes is a shot of the windows of the shul just lit up, and you hear the rabbis chanting and singing and you know, the rest of the men doing in Hebrew, right? Doing what they do.
Interesting, though,
you know,
that they would have to...
You don't show... They don't... You don't see anything.
Is there an apparatus within mainstream Judaism for exorcism?
No, mainstream.
There isn't. It's Kabbalah, right? So it's
right.
Like, you know, okay.
Right, right.
What's going to say?
Right. It's definitely...
It didn't make sense.
Right, no. It's definitely Orthodox Kabbalists. There's not even a mechanism in...
Kabbalists is a whole separate thing.
Right.
It's not, you know?
Right, but there's also, you know, the Kabbalah, like the Hollywood Kabbalists, you know, and all that.
We talked about those.
Right, there's, right, no, there is a definitely an Orthodox sect of Kabbalists, too. I don't even know if that's the right word, sect.
That whole Bible code thing is Kabbalah.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely.
Or form thereof.
Right, right.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we don't know.
So the guy was done, though?
Yeah, it was done, but... There's nothing about whether or not it worked yet.
Okay.
So we don't know. You know, if they would go to all the trouble to put it on YouTube and release the story all over the place to so many people so they can go, look what we did, you know, then they should tell us what happened.
I think most people suffering from demonic possession are mentally ill.
That's a very good point, actually. Seriously. Seriously.
Uh-huh.
Someone did bring that up on... in the comments on one of the on the sites that I went to that had too many Hebrew words for me to know what they were talking about.
Most.
Yeah.
I would say most.
Right. That's always, always, always something that should be explored first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this man being a Brazilian lower economic bent.
Loco.
Yeah. That's probably the same in Portuguese.
El loco. Oh yeah, they speak that French Portuguese then.
Right. Right. So we didn't know what happened to him.
Great.
But the good news is the world has nudged a bit further from a nuclear apocalypse and environmental disaster. A transatlantic group of prominent scientists declared Thursday, moving the hand of the symbolic doomsday clock 1 minute away from midnight.
You know, I saw there's a documentary that I watched a couple months ago on Doomsday Clock.
Really?
Uh-huh. This is a real organization.
Yes,
all
it is.
All throughout the Cold War.
Yeah.
And they finally stylized on one. They put out it's an annual, I think it's a newsletter even. Right? If it's not a newsletter, it's some sort of publication, monthly publication.
Wow.
And depending upon where things are within the geopolitical situation, they show the hands of the clock. And how close we are to a nuclear annihilation.
Yeah.
It's legit.
I was surprised.
And it was founded by a bunch of scientists and whatnot.
Yeah. So what they do is, I guess, they keep tabs on how things,
where things
are going on the planet.
Yes. Yes.
Is it just...
Well, you know, I guess it was a lot easier back in the day, you know, when it was the Cold War.
Right.
I mean, not that, again, I think the closest it's ever been was the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Right. 47, so, it says it was created.
Right after the, well, keep in mind, you know.
Right.
Not too much after they started. What's his name had something to do with that, too? I think Teller.
Oh, Alfred, right?
And no.
Dr. Teller,
yeah,
the physicist.
Edward Teller.
Edward,
and Oppenheimer, certainly. Oppenheimer was a huge proponent. It was basically the same movement that sent all those dudes who signed off on sending the letter to Eisenhower.
Yeah.
About the dangers of the nuclear, or not Eisenhower, but Truman. Remember there was Albert Einstein signed that, and whole bunch of Oppenheimer became very much anti... Teller actually, it was my mistake to say Teller, because Teller actually went on to build the hydrogen bomb. So he was like, yeah, you know, let's build these things.
So he never really had any qualms about it.
No, not really.
Right.
Not you know, what are you going to do? You know?
Blow them up. So, I don't care.
But Oppenheimer very much regretted.
Well,
but yeah, it's so what you're saying
is that
it can't have been moved 1 minute away from midnight, because that would meant that it was at midnight. And midnight is...
More minute. It was at
one
5
one minute away.
Right.
It was at 5, so now it's at 6.
Correct.
Right. Okay. It's been at 5 for a while.
Right. It's been at 5 for a long time. I don't know how long, but it was like years. It's been at 5.
Yeah. I wish I could remember the name of the documentary. It was really actually very interesting.
So. Yeah. Well, if you find out, I'll put it up, because it's interesting.
Yeah.
To watch that. Like, we don't have enough news of, you know.
Well, it gave the history of the organization.
Yeah.
And in doing that, it also gave the, you know, history of basically the proponents and the detractors.
That's what would be interesting to me.
Yeah.
It says in the article I read, it said it had been as late. The closest it had ever been to midnight was 2 minutes.
And what was that?
1953.
53, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I would have thought it was closer around with the missile crisis, but interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I never was. That was in the early 60s,
like,
right?
You could argue the concept of the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah, because I don't. I was like 3. Because I don't know.
That Kennedy guy was.
Yeah, I remember. I know that part.
Right. So that's. That's interesting.
Uh huh. So if you find out the name, and I'll put the documentary on, because I think those group of people are extremely interesting. Did you ever see the documentary where Oppenheimer talked about his regrets and how it was like a video message?
Yeah.
And he was very emotional.
That footage has been incorporated into more than a few.
Yeah.
You know,
that was one of the saddest things I'd ever seen. I can't imagine.
Well, you know, it's somebody was, and this is what they say, but it's 100% true.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was going to do it.
Yeah.
The Soviets were working on it.
Mm.
We were working on it. Hell, the Germans were working on it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, you take, let's just say for argument's sake, so if you're going to do it, then you had to unleash it.
Yeah.
The biggest argument becomes, couldn't we have set up some sort of demonstration in the desert and let them see its power?
Hmm.
No, you had to show what it could do, really.
For real.
Not in some sort of theoretical situation.
Not a tease.
It needed to be done. And again, we saved lives. And, you know, we saved American lives, first of all. But we also probably saved some Japanese lives.
I can't argue
by the
that.
Time we got to mainland Japan, do you have any idea how many lives would have been lost across the board?
Yeah.
Somebody was going to do this. And what's to say for argument's sake that the Germans said, hell, they had the V-2s, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there you are having it. They had an intercontinental delivery system.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden you give them a little bit more time and they actually wind up having nuclear fission, having a device.
Yeah,
England would be. It would still be glowing.
Well, just like.
I mean, there's no, you know.
Yeah. In warfare, just like spiritual warfare, you're gonna have to. Somebody's gonna get nailed.
Well, I
you know?
Think it's the most amazing.
It's unavoidable, really.
The pinnacle of what human beings have accomplished is splitting the atom.
Yeah. So. And what did we use it for?
Well,
I don't know. Both for destruction and for preservation. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the, it's a, you know, dual purpose. Two sides is a polarity.
Amazing,
right?
You know, how you get this upswing in reported UFO activity.
Yeah.
Right around the time that we first started to detonate these devices.
That is fascinating,
you know,
isn't it?
I always like that coalition there, yeah. You know, and it's really, you know.
Yeah,
really,
that is very, very, very intriguing.
Collation, I guess would be the word.
Yeah, collation.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that they show up to see, you know, just how bad we're going to screw it up.
We were mostly harmless before then, you know?
Yeah. Or we were really dull and boring before we decided, you know, before we learned how to split the atom, maybe. I don't know. Oh. That's difficult stuff to think about.
The clock has been as late as 2 minutes to midnight
in 1953,
and as early as 17 to midnight in 1991.
Right.
Yeah. Well. Right. After
17.
Yeah. That's a long time.
Yeah.
Ago.
I don't know what. I guess apparently nothing much was going on in 91. I don't know.
Right.
I don't remember that far back.
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean it. See, I know you want to close this out, but the one thing in essence, this clock measures the level of the geopolitical climate.
Yes.
I mean, levels of hostility.
Right, right. Okay? It's
Which
not.
Is, right, but it doesn't necessarily say anything about the concept of an accident.
No, it doesn't. It
or
just
an accident set in motion.
Exactly.
You know, a chain of events a la Failsafe, which is a really great movie now that you've seen it.
Right.
Where something is set in motion and we're not able to pull back. So.
Right, right. Well said. They said just the last thing that they said here in the article, I just wanted to mention, the group warned that the incremental shift of 1 minute means much more work needs to be done to avert
catastrophe.
And I think that's really, you know, what it's about. Mm-hmm. Avert, warn, sure. You know, and especially right now, pay attention to Haiti.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everybody.
Yeah.
So, and there's something on my side about that. I won't belabor that point, but, you know, you can text and $10 will be donated to the Red Cross on your behalf. It'll be on your phone bill. You know, you don't even have to dish it out right now. But that's, you know, just keep averting.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Ha! Huh. And what the BBC4 is doing on a search for terminally, they're searching for a terminally ill patient. Why can't I say that word? To donate their body. So it could be mummified for a show.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was weird that they tried to do, a rabbi tried to do an exorcism via Skype. Okay.
Phyllis Diller wasn't available?
No. No. So the proposed program will explore the mysteries around the ancient Egyptian embalming. All right.
It's not much of a mystery anymore.
Not really.
Yeah.
So, okay. They're pretty darn good at documentaries like that. However, this time they want a real cadaver.
So they've gotten tired of stealing mummies. Now
right.
They're going to make their own, right?
Right. Sayawa said, nuh-uh. Can't come here no more.
Yeah.
And let my people go.
It is a tragedy. Mm. It is a cultural tragedy.
Yes.
That there were more Egyptian artifacts in the British Museum than there were in the Cairo Museum at one point in time.
Yeah, right?
So
they want a real thing. The show's idea comes from a television production company, Fulcrum TV, and was discovered when an undercover journalist posed as a possible volunteer. The show has not been commissioned yet, but Channel 4 said they would make the show if a donor is found.
I'm just waiting for Doctor Who to come back.
I think that's a much better idea.
Yep.
Adverts have reportedly been placed asking for people who are dying to get in touch.
Isn't that priority mail?
Oh, man. Well, as we said before, avert, avert, avert.
Avert.
Maybe that could be a new mantra when you make your meditation wheel. Mm. Ralph Waldo Emerson has such a way with words.
Yeah.
He didn't say that. But he's an Englishman, and he said a lot of other good things. But whether you're a psychic, a light worker, a healer, whatever it is you do in this particular line of work, everybody needs you real bad, you know? And I just really wanted to make the point, are you being that really, or are you focused more on making making enough money or the fact that they're driving you crazy, you know, or what it is, you know, on the negative. So go back to what I was talking about before. And Ralph Waldo Emerson had a really good point and something that touched me today when I read it, which was,
please share it.
Yeah, there is guidance for each of us. And by lowly listening, we shall hear the right word. Certainly there is a right for you that needs no choice on your part. Place yourself in the middle of the stream of power and wisdom which flows into your life. Then without effort, you are impaired to truth, impelled to truth, and to perfect contentment. Not bad. Something to think about. From Lee and me, thanks again for listening, and rest in peace.
Swallowed up in the sound of my screaming, cannot cease for the fear of silent nights. Oh, how I long for the deep sleep dreaming, the goddess of imaginary light. In my field of paper flowers, and candy clouds of love.
Mesmerize for a little while, but we can't stay. We release you now to your world of creature comforts and reality as you perceive it to be, hoping that you will not be quite the same as you ever were. Do come again.
The world.